Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Jump on YouTube with us as well as we chat with our guy Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, youtube.com/@WI Sports Radio, or just search Inside Wisconsin Sports. So Josh Schneid just texted me and goes, hey, can we do phone? And I was like, well, I mean, we're set up for StreamYard, and if we talk to you on the phone, we don't get to see that mustache.
Yeah.
So, oh, I think you're muted, brother.
No, he's there. I got him.
Oh, is he? I got him? Okay.
Matt, you got us?
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, we got you. Hi, buddy.
Okay. How you doing, Josh? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, man. It's been a little bit.
I know it has. No, Trevor, the reason I texted you that is mainly because my appearance on these early Tuesday mornings, and Josh knows, I used to do the 7 a.m. hit with Dave and Butch on StreamYard. I look real rough.
You look great.
At all hours of the day, but especially on early Tuesday mornings. But we're here. We're good. It got me up, and I'm ready to talk some Packers.
7 a.m. Schneidman is my favorite Schneidman, for the record.
It's my least favorite Schneidman.
Schneid, let's go back to the weekend that was, man. And I know that you have a good relationship with Aaron Rodgers, and you've been talking to him for years. So two things. One, how did that all go for you in the lead-up to it and through the game? And two, did he comment about your mustache? Because I guarantee you did.
No, I don't know if I'd say I have a good relationship. You know, a lot of times with these athletes, we get along with them in a professional setting, but what we like to say is we're of the same world as them, but we're not in their world pretty much. So
sure,
we had a cordial working relationship. I wouldn't say I was his friend or like he was my guy or anything, but I enjoyed covering him for 4 years. And no, he did not comment on that. What I would say is, you know, we love covering big games with big storylines, and this past week was a huge storyline, and I enjoyed talking to him on Zoom a little bit, even though it was only for, you know, 10, 12 minutes. If he didn't need to get to meetings with the Steelers, I think it would have gone on much longer. He was enjoying, it seemed, kind of reminiscing and taking a trip down memory lane, and for each old face that popped up, he kind of had a different bar. When I popped up, he said, how does Matt get the first question? He called Rob Domofsky buddy. Bill Huber's old nickname was Seinfeld, so he called Bill Seinfeld. So it was good to see some old faces. And after we got out of the Packers locker room on Sunday night, Rob and I went into the Steelers locker room to see if maybe he was still in there packing up his stuff. There were literally zero people left in there. So no luck there, but good to see kind of that pregame scene where he's out there 3 hours before kickoff hugging literally everybody he ever knew here in Green Bay.
Matt Schneidman joining us on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all.
Matt, I was, before this game, I was like, hey, listen, I'm one of these guys to where I don't mind if Rodgers has a good day as long as the Steelers lose, the Packers win. I'm hearing all of his stories and all of these, you know, this reminiscing, and it got me a little bit. You know, I'm one of those guys that I'm going to remember the good times. And then after the game with this jersey swap thing, and he, during his presser, he goes, you know, they were asked, he was asked, did you give Love a jersey? Did you sign it? And do you mind sharing what you signed if you did? And he says, no, I'm not going to share that. That was his response. Short, simple, no, I'm not sharing that. And then yesterday, the audio came out. They were mic'd up. Like, we heard exactly what the conversation was between them. And it just had me sitting here going like, this is exactly like the cryptic, unnecessary stuff that you covered forever with Aaron Rodgers. And it all just came flooding back. And I'm not understand. I don't understand why he had to say that. Was I missing something about that whole interaction of why he had to play it that way? If did he not know that they were that someone was mic'd up, or that there were mics right there or something?
No, he knows that all the mics are there and there's all those cameras and microphones surrounding them when they meet at midfield. My guess, and I didn't see that clip. That's funny because I saw the mic'd up clip. I didn't see him post game. And my guess would be he was just in a crummy mood, understandably so, because they got their doors blown off in the second half. And Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary, you know, tried to put him 6 feet under a couple times. And maybe he just didn't want to elaborate on that. But we heard what it was. It was a nice cordial interaction where they say they love each other, call each other brother, and promise to swap jerseys down the road. That's what guys do sometimes. I know when, you know, like Josh Jacobs and Ja'Marr Chase and Micah Parsons did kind of like a three-way jersey swap after the Packers-Bengals game, and Parsons and Jacobs both wanted Chase's jersey. So I believe Jacobs got Chase's jersey right after the game, and then Chase sent Micah in the mail a jersey that came to Lambeau. So sometimes these jersey swaps don't happen like right there. I doubt Aaron was in the mood for like a photo shoot right after the game. Yeah. And that's what it would have become if they exchanged jerseys right there. He just wanted to say his piece to Love and get on with it instead of, you know, take off the jersey, do the whole, you know, 9 yards and everything. So
it reminded me, like, you could just say that, just like, listen, I didn't want the moment to be about that. You know, obviously I wanted to keep it focused on the game. I said what I did to Jordan. He played great, you know, and now I'm focused on what we do next week and blah, blah, blah. Instead, it was a, no, I'm not sharing that. And it just, when I knew we were going to be talking to you, I was like, man, this just immediately takes me back to all the years of asking you, like, now, what do you think he meant by that? And now tell me, when he had his inflection in his voice on this, and I'm just like, oh, I'm glad we're done with that phase of having 12 as a quarterback.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from as a fan. It doesn't really bother me, obviously, but I think I just chalk it up to him kind of being in a crummy mood, like I said, rightfully so, and maybe not wanting to expand upon that.
Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, follow his writings on The Athletic and his talkings on an all-new podcast with our guy John Kuhn. It's called The Tundra. Follow them on the Twitter at The Tundra GB. New episode drops today. Any special guests?
Tomorrow. We had a little travel situation yesterday, so we're recording later today, drop tomorrow morning. And do we have any special guests? Not that we haven't had before on our show, but
okay,
I think we'll have a lot to talk about.
It's a perfect
regardless sounds, every week.
Can't wait. That's awesome. Yeah, of course. Really, you do.
A really enticing tease there. We have Annie Agar on the show, but she's a regular guest on the show. And, you know, this is not my lack of excitement for that. I'm definitely excited for that. But in terms of someone we bring in from the outside and recruit and hound to come on the show, not this time.
Welcome to our world. That's exactly what we do.
True.
Recruit and hound. So we're not used to Quay Walker being able to keep it together. That was a great question of Matt LaFleur yesterday. Apparently they are, to the point where he's a captain. What have you seen in covering the Packers in his maturity? Because I mentioned at the top, like, I don't know what he said. Let's be real. Like, something came out of his mouth that made DK Metcalf want to gouge his eyes out. So, I mean, maturity in a way of physical altercations, but apparently the mouth is just fine.
Yeah, I was the only one, I think, to talk to Quay after the game in the locker room on Sunday night. And I, now that I think back on it, I should have asked him kind of what he said, not that he would have told me to draw that reaction. Or not that he would have told me honestly, but that's my story this morning that's up on The Athletic right now, is kind of how Quay has matured and grown, because we all remember his rookie year when he got ejected twice. And I think Domofsky had the stat that Quay's two ejections in the same season were the first time since ESPN started tracking ejections since the start of the century that a player had been ejected twice in the same season. And it was once for pushing that Bills practice squad player on the sideline and once for pushing that Lions medical team member who was trying to get past Quay to DeAndre Swift, who was injured on the field. And Quay was trying to check on DeAndre Swift, who was his teammate at Georgia. So there were some anger issues that needed to be sorted through. I remember, and I went back and looked at a story I wrote in camp in 2023, and Quay talked about how he had started meditating at the advice of Jair Alexander and how he started seeing Dr. Chris Carr, who's the Packers' behavioral health clinician, basically their team therapist, and he kind of worked on himself that way. And so when I walked up to Quay after the game, he knew what I was going to ask because he didn't even let me get my question out. I said, would 2022 Quay Walker? And he goes, hell no. And then he expanded and just said how he definitely would have responded and fought back earlier in his career. But all the work he's put in on himself, he said it wasn't even hard to not respond because the feeling that he felt when he let his team down with those ejections and cost his team, he didn't want to feel that again, is what he told me. And I think it's impressive, not only that, but also how he's playing on the field. Jeff Hafley said last week that Quay is playing at an elite level. And I know they didn't exercise his fifth-year option this spring, but both on and off the field, he could be playing his way into a second contract here.
Yeah, that's very true. And I remember I was talking to Trevor about, you know, football players are so disciplined. You have to be completely still, jump off the line, all those things. It was crazy that the discipline to just be able to say, nope, I'm not letting the words you're saying entice me. I'm going to let you get the penalty and not me, always was crazy. And so it's great to hear that, you know, Quay went through and did those type of things to get his mind right, to be able to be in that mindset and be a huge part of this team, which this team in general, Matt, has, I've been talking all season about their identity and trying to figure out what the team's identity is. And I really like that second half, and I think that that's showing a lot of potential that maybe we haven't seen fully since weeks one and two. Do you think they're on that trajectory to get back to that point and keep that going through the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's funny how the kind of narratives change week to week in this league, because after the first 2 weeks, it was they're going to win the Super Bowl. Then after the Browns game, it was they're frauds. And after the Cowboys game was, okay, maybe they really are frauds. Then the last 2 weeks was, okay, they're back to winning, but they're winning ugly. And this week is, okay, they're back to being a Super Bowl contender. So if they beat the Panthers by 3 points, it's probably going to change again. If they lose to the Panthers, it'll change again. I think regardless of what we saw in the second half, I still put the Packers in the Super Bowl contender category, if only because there's no team that is clearly better than the rest. Like, for example, the Eagles and the Lions and maybe the Chiefs were last year. The Packers, sure, have a really bad loss, a bad tie, a couple ugly wins, but so does pretty much every team in the NFL besides the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, the Buffalo Bills right now, I believe, are the second favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Atlanta Falcons, and the Atlanta Falcons lost to the Carolina Panthers 30-0 and just got their doors blown off by the Miami Dolphins. Like, this is such a week-to-week league, and anything can happen. And I understand and I appreciate the guttural reactions after every game because it gives us and you guys something to talk about and stuff to analyze. But I think that it's important to take the big picture view, and that's that the Packers have a really young, talented team. They're a really good football team. They found a way to win 5 football games. They're one of only 2 teams with 1 loss still in the NFL. And I think as we saw on Sunday night, Josh, at least on offense, their identity can change. Mm-hmm. They build everything off their running game, everything off their running game. And they've been able to run the ball well at times this year. But if not, they can really air it out. Last year, Jordan Love didn't put up those gaudy numbers because the Packers ran the ball more than they ever had under Matt LaFleur. But on Sunday night, and as Matt LaFleur told us yesterday, he goes, yeah, the running game wasn't working, but I just felt we should throw the ball more because that's what was working. They can beat you in a number of different ways. And that's kind of the benefit of being the Green Bay Packers, is they don't really have a singular identity, and that's a good thing.
Throwing the ball to a lot of different people is something that they're on as well. I thought there was a good question from Jason Wilde yesterday in the press conference where he was talking about how do you spread the love and keep everybody happy? Here was Matt LaFleur's answer to that.
Hey, I think every situation is a little bit different in regards. If you can feel it and you know something's going on, then you absolutely, I mean, you're not going to run away from potential problems. You're going to attack it head on. At least that's how we operate, and that's how I'll continue to operate here. But yeah, and I know it can be frustrating for these guys. Look how far Tuck's come. I mean, would it take him like 8 games before he got his first reception his rookie year? So you just never know within the process. That's why you just got to keep working and try to do your job.
So what does that look like now that the Packers have even more weapons that can catch the ball? I tweeted last weekend that I thought it was going to be interesting when Christian Watson came back because it spread the field out. And we saw that in real time, at least that was my perception on Sunday. So, A, is that what happened? Is that why Tuck had such a good game? And then, B, how do they keep these dudes happy? Because we all know Romeo Doubs wasn't exactly pleased at one point.
I think Tucker Kraft had a good game because he's really, really good himself. I think the presence of Christian Watson certainly helps everybody because it's just another guy that teams have to really account for, and they can't just leave over to one side because he can wreck a game, as we saw at times on Sunday night. All these guys, and I don't blame them for this, have egos, and that's understandable because that's how they got to this point. They were the guy on their high school or college teams or even at times in the pros, and it takes a lot to be able to swallow that, not pride, but swallow a little bit of that ego for the betterment of the team. I mean, Matthew Golden, I know there, I saw some stuff on Twitter about how maybe he deactivated his social media or whatever. Like, there's stuff like this every year where we read into stuff. And look, maybe Matthew Golden is frustrated. I don't think the Packers would be upset with Matthew Golden if he was frustrated. I think they would want that. Like, you want guys who want the ball. That's what they would say. As long as you don't let that attitude or frustration boil over and affect what you do on the field and affect the team, then I don't think it's a problem at all. If it makes you run your routes less hard or not be as attentive in meetings and kind of check out, then it becomes a problem. But if you're upset at a lack of usage, I don't think that's a problem as long as you don't let it affect everything else and affect the team. And I would imagine Packers coaches would agree with me on that. So it's tough for players because they all want the 10 targets a game. But I think the only player to get double-digit targets in a game this season was Tucker Kraft against the Arizona Cardinals. And that's just not how the Packers offense works, and they get that. And even when Jaden Reed comes back, that's going to be one more mouth to feed. That's going to be Reed, Watson, Wicks, Doubs, Golden, Kraft. That's 6 guys who you can make an argument where you should get this guy the ball. So it's tough, but for opposing defenses, it's even more tough to game plan against teams like that.
So looking at all of that, Matt, and then looking forward to the future in this upcoming game, how do you see this game going for the Packers? Because Trevor brought up he's smelling trap game for Green Bay.
I think there have been a couple games already this season where you could have said the Packers were set up for a trap game, the Bengals, the Cardinals, and they didn't let those become a trap game. So sure, the Browns game you could call a trap game. I think that was more just like an absolute collapse. I don't think that was necessarily a trap game. They could have, you know, 8 trap games a year because not every team they're going to play is good. The bottom line is it's hard to win in the NFL, and sometimes you're going to get tripped up. The Packers have been really good at home this year, beating the Lions, Commanders, and then the Bengals. The Panthers aren't a bad team, especially when they have Bryce Young. And Andy Dalton and the Panthers were horrific against the Bills last week, but Bryce Young, I believe, is day-to-day this week, and they're going to try and get him out to practice on Wednesday. They have a good two-headed running game there. They have a solid defense, one of the better young corners in the league, and J.C. Horn. So, I mean, they're a 500 team. They're 4-4. I don't think every game where the Packers play an inferior team is necessarily a trap game. I just think this is a solid team coming off a really bad loss who could do some damage.
And the good news is, to your point, the Packers are home for the next 3 out of 4 games, which is not something they've been able to say for some time. Matt Schneidman, if you don't, you need to. Follow him along on The Athletic. Every single month, I see that charge come out of my bank account, and I go, of all of the subscriptions I have, this is one I'm going to keep, because you're a great writer, Matt, and the articles that you put out on a very regular basis are a good read, so we appreciate what you do.
Thanks, Trevor. Do you really say all that when you see the charge?
Every single month.
No, I just go, shouldn't I cancel this?
God, every single month.
Subscription? And then I go, no, because it's pretty good.
It drives his family nuts. They're like, Dad, we get it.
Yeah. Every single month. You know, boys, I should really cancel this subscription. But I don't, because it's good. Damn it, it's
good. Because Matt's a good writer. We know. We know.
Matt, on the way out, I don't know if you heard the announcement, and you've been gracious with your time. So thank you. This is probably the last time you're ever going to join us, because I said 10 minutes and it's been longer. No, Goody's coming on the show on Thursday morning, and we know better than to fake like we're you guys. You guys do such an amazing job of asking deep-rooted questions that look for as much news and under stuff as we can. I'm curious, though, in the years of you covering Goody and the Packers and the team, how do you assess how the general manager has done for the Green Bay Packers, and what do you look at?
Well, A, if they're winning football games, if their young talent is playing well, if the guys he signed in free agency are playing well, there's so many different things that go into it. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of say, well, some of it's coaching, some of it's the players, some of it's the GM. Ultimately, it's winning. And, you know, we could, that would require a whole story or a whole show to break down kind of his actual performance. You can say the Nate Hobbs signing was not great because they gave him all that money and he's playing 4 defensive snaps. But you could also say that signing Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney more than makes up for it. You could say drafting guys like Tucker Kraft and Zach Tom, and we can go through the whole list. The bottom line is the Packers for 3 years now have been the youngest team in the NFL by average age. They've made the playoffs twice, and right now they're the current number one seed in the NFC. A lot of season left, but I think Brian Gutekunst has done a great job. At some point, though, you do have to get over the hump, and you do have to, I think, at least make an NFC championship game, and this year could be the year for that.
Winning matters. We hear you. All right, follow along on the Tundra as well. Matt Schneidman, John Kuhn, a podcast that drops tomorrow for this week, because probably American Thanks. Airlines, I'm guessing.
No, it wasn't me. I think John was spending some family time in Pennsylvania.
How dare he?
Nice. That's great. Back. All right, Matt, we'll chat again soon, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.